This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وكذلك أنزلناه قرآنا عربيا وصرفنا فيه من الوعيد لعلهم يتقون أو يحدث لهم ذكرا. فتعالى الله الملك الحق ولا تعجل بالقرآن من قبل أن يقضى إليك وحيه وقل رب زدني علما رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي فالحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد everyone once again السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته today's dua belongs to Surah Taha A dua that the Prophet was taught, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Surah Taha. And this is ayah number 114 of the surah. If you don't know much about the surah, just a quick overview of what the surah entails. The very first passage of the surah, Allah talks to the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'll come to that because it's relevant to this dua. Then a huge chunk, probably the majority chunk of the surah, is different accounts of the life of Musa alayhi salam. So it talks pretty exhaustively about Musa alayhi salam, from his meeting with Allah, all the way to even his encounters after crossing the water and dealing with the likes of Samiri. All of that is mentioned in the surah. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla again talks to his messenger, but before he does, he speaks about Judgment Day in some detail. And then at the end of that passage, he revealed this dua, the dua I'm about to share with you. And then at the end of the surah is the story of Adam alayhi salam again. In any case, what I wanted to highlight is after describing the massive event of Judgment Day, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَكَذَلِكَ أَنزَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا. And that is how we sent down an Arabic Qur'an. In order to understand this dua, I'll give you an example. You know, if someone's trying to convince you of something, and you don't want to hear it, and then they try to convince you again, and then try to convince you again, and convince you again, and then if you didn't hear it this way, or you didn't find this argument convincing, they come with a different argument, they advertise it to you another way, then another way, then another way. The more time somebody comes back to you and tries to convince you of something, the more desperate they seem. Like they're just trying to win you over, right? It's kind of like, I'm reminded of like car salesmen when you're trying to leave the dealership. Wait, let me show you something else. Oh, just one more thing, you know? So it's very hard, it's easy to walk into one, it's really hard to walk out of one, right? So desperation on behalf of the one who's trying to sell you something, give you something. The thing is, Allah says He sent an Arabic Qur'an. Arabic catered to the Quraysh. These people spoke Arabic. And Allah revealed revelation, particularly in their language. Then He says, وَصَرَّفْنَا فِيهِ مِنَ الْوَعِيدِ. Then we kept alternating, changing, demonstrating the teachings of the warning of Judgment Day. He teaches it one way, then another way, then another way, then another way. It's not, I mean, if you study two-thirds of the Qur'an, Meccan Qur'an, the way in which Allah talks about the coming of Judgment Day is so many different ways. It's actually huge numbers of ayat. It's not just, there's a Judgment Day, be ready. It's not like that. It's exhaustive explanations, one after the other. If this didn't click, maybe this will help. If this didn't help, this will help. If this didn't touch you, maybe this will touch you. So He says, وَصَرَّفْنَا فِيهِ مِنَ الْوَعِيدِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ. In hopes that they might become people of taqwa. They might become good people, cautious people. Maybe they'll change their ways. And Allah teaches another way, another way, another way, and another way. And then He says, أَوْ يُحْدِثُ لَهُمْ ذِكْرًا. Or at the very least, maybe some reminder will just go inside. At least, okay, they won't change completely. Maybe just one word went in and maybe they got influenced just a little bit, like a seed that maybe eventually will grow. But at least a seed was dropped. One drop went in. One little bit went in. Maybe that'll help. And this sounds almost like, by any means necessary, the message needs to get across. And so in the very next ayah, Allah says, فَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ الْمَلِكُ الْحَقِّ. And so thus know that Allah is His Highness, He's the greatest Highness. Ta'ala from ulu means height. And so Allah Azza wa Jal describes that Allah is the owner of the greatest height. No one is higher than Allah, Ta'ala Allah. When we say Allahu Ta'ala, Allahu Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, this idea of ulu meaning no one is higher than Allah. Meaning don't think because Allah is explaining the Qur'an in so many different ways that Allah, ma'adallah, is desperate to convince you. He's way too high. He's way too high. And by the way, in Surah Abasa, He didn't say that He is way too high. He said His revelation is way too high. He described that the revelation is not, it's not there to convince you. It's, you should be honored that you have access to the words of Allah. And so there, Allah Azza wa Jalla describes, كَلَّا إِنَّهَا تَذْكِرَةً فَمَنْ شَاءَ ذَكَرَ فِي صُحُفٍ مُكَرَّمَةً مَرْفُوعَةٍ مُطَهَّرَةً. These words that these Quraysh don't want to listen to or say, I'm not interested, and they act like they're above it. Allah says, nothing is above the word of Allah. It's right under the arsh. It's in Suhufin Mukarrama, Marfu'a, elevated scrolls from which these angels, legions of angels, descend and give you this word. You're honored to have even heard one word of Allah. Who are you to be worthy of hearing a word of Allah? You know? And here, instead of comparing the height and the grandeur of the word of Allah, it's actually the greatness and the height of Allah Himself. The highness of Allah Himself, His highness. فَتَعَالَ اللَّهِ Al-Malik, the king. A king is never desperate. The subjects are supposed to be desperate. The ones that are under the authority of a king are supposed to come begging to the king. Are supposed to be afraid. Have we violated some command of the king? Is the king happy with us? Is he going to provide us the support we need, the protection we need? You're supposed to be the humble ones, the desperate ones. So just because Allah, out of His mercy, explains things in so many ways, don't you ever think He's desperate? فَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ Al-Malik, and then He says Al-Haqq, that He Himself is the ultimate truth. Which is important to mention here, because whether you're convinced of the truth or not, that doesn't change the truth. So even if you accept it, or you reject it, it doesn't change the fact that Allah is Al-Haqq. He's not in need of you being convinced for the truth to somehow become more meaningful. You won't even have to exist and He'll still be Al-Haqq. So فَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ الْمَلِكُ الْحَقِّ. And then there's a, you know, if you don't, I set the scene for you, so the next part of this ayah is easy to understand. Otherwise you don't see the connection to what's coming. It seems like an istidrad, like a tangent, a subject that changed completely. And so in this ayah, Allah Azza wa Jalla says to the Prophet ﷺ, وَلَا تَعْجَلْ بِالْقُرْآنِ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يُقْضَى إِلَيْكَ وَحْيُهُ. Don't rush to get more Qur'an before Allah decides when it should be revealed. Don't rush to get more and more Qur'an. What does this mean? What this actually means is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gets criticized by these people who don't believe. Oh yeah, if your Qur'an is from Allah, answer this. Tell me this. Give me this answer. Give me this response. Explain this. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't always have the answers. When they said, sometimes a boy is born, sometimes a girl is born, can you explain why? Can your God explain why? Or when they said, these people of the cave, who are they? Can you explain? If you give us this answer, then yeah, maybe we'll think about the fact that you are in fact speaking on behalf of Allah. So they start putting in requests. If you can show me what my curiosities are being answered by these questions are being answered by you, then yeah, you know what? Then I'm kind of convinced that it's from Allah. Really? Are you at a restaurant placing orders on what you want from the menu? You know, is this Google where you ask whatever question you want and you try to get an answer? You're speaking to Allah. You're asking Allah to dictate His revelation based on your requests, based on your curiosities. The Messenger ﷺ is now in his innocence thinking that these people who ask him these questions, if he just answers these questions, they're going to be convinced. They'll become believers, because more than anything else, it eats away at him that they're dying disbelievers, that they're rejecting the message of Allah. So he's hoping more Qur'an comes, and maybe if more Qur'an came to them, and their answers came, that they'll accept. And Allah says, don't rush to the Qur'an. Allah is the ultimate authority. He's the truth. He decides when the truth comes, and the king decides when to send his word. These slaves will not decide when the master will speak. So he says, وَلَا تَعْجَبْ لِلْقُرْآنِ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يُقْضَى إِلَيْكَ وَحْيُهُ. Others have also interpreted this to mean the Prophet ﷺ was so eager to get more Qur'an, more eager to receive. But actually, even though that is in and of itself a valid interpretation, in the context of these ayat, something else is going on that seems to be a heavier weight in terms of its interpretation. But then we get to the dua. And the dua is very famous. وَقُلْ And then say, رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا My master, increase me in terms of knowledge. Now that last part of the dua, almost everybody knows, because the shorter duas, we're pretty lazy, we memorize those quickly. رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا And people do this before they take their biology exam. رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا And then, which dua can I make so I remember all these glossary of terms? Oh yeah, رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا No, hold on. Understand where it came from first. First thing I'd like you to know is that the word ilm, which means knowledge, in this ayah actually refers to the Qur'an. Increase me in terms of knowledge is actually, the entire conversation was about what? Don't rush to get more Qur'an before it's been revealed. Enhance me in terms of knowledge. In other words, even the Qur'an that I've memorized, even the Qur'an that I think I know, I may not have full knowledge of it. And as a matter of fact, for us, after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every ayah of the Quran, we're going to have drops from it. We're going to have some things from each of these oceans. And there will be so much more knowledge still left. Ya Allah, just increase me, give me some more drops from what I already have of revelation, what I already understand of it. رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. So, you know, the idea that knowledge is compared to the Qur'an, it occurs often, even on the Prophet's own tongue, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, مَنْ أَرَادَ الْعِلْمَ فَعَلَيْهِ بِالْقُرْآنِ. Whoever wants to seek knowledge, then let them commit to the Qur'an. He said, the Sahaba, when they were worried that one day knowledge will disappear, they said, وَكَيْفَ يَذْهَبُ الْعِلْمُ وَنَحْنُ قَرَأْنَا الْقُرْآنِ. How can knowledge ever disappear? We read Qur'an. In their mind, knowledge and Qur'an was the same thing. Today, in the mind of a Muslim, when we say someone's educated, we can think of accounting, biology, we can think of, you know, psychology, we can think of their fields, we can think of a college education, a high school education, a PhD. This is knowledge, this is information, this is education. But when we think of knowledge, when we think of Islamic knowledge, we think, oh, this is like religious knowledge. It's like one category. According to Allah, this is actual knowledge that gives light to all other knowledge. The knowledge of revelation. وَيُعَلِّمُكُمْ مَا لَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْلَمُونَ. He's teaching you what you had no possibility of knowing. There's no way this knowledge could have come to you. This is the ilm that we need. And by the way, it's though the language is broad, you can make this dua for all kinds of knowledge. Understand its place here. Allah didn't just say, increase my knowledge. That would be a really bad translation of this ayah, by the way. If you read a translation, you know, sometimes when people say, which translation do you recommend? And then they hand me a translation of the Qur'an. And I say, oh God, I don't want to speak about another author or something. But there are some places in the Qur'an where you can just open up and tell if it's a quality translation or not, easily. This is one of those places. Increase my knowledge would be a pretty terrible translation, because that would be, رَبِّ زِدْ مِنْ عِلْمِي أَوْ زِدْ عِلْمِي. Increase my knowledge. It says, زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. Enhance me. Make me more by way of knowledge. Make me more through knowledge. Make me more in terms of knowledge. Actually, it's not even increasing your knowledge. It's actually increasing you. Make me something more than I am. Enhance me. Make me a better person. Make me closer to you. Make me stronger through the knowledge and by way of knowledge. So ilman is a tamyiz here. And so the request is to our, you know, to yourself. This is what the Messenger was taught, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But what do we learn from it ourselves? What is the application of this dua? First of all, in these ayat, we're learning how to study the Qur'an and why to study the Qur'an. Some of you have studied the Qur'an for many years. Some of you have never studied the Qur'an before. Some of you don't know where to even begin. First thing you know, when you learn anything, you have to have the right mindset. These ayat give us the right mindset. The first thing that we have to have is لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ. We're learning this book so we can protect ourselves. That's one reason. أَوْ يُحْدِثُ لَهُمْ ذِكْرًا. Or at the very least, whenever you engage this book, at least some reminder of some kind, some advice of some kind should hit me. I open this book and I engage in its study every time for some kind of advice. I don't come to it for curiosity alone. I don't come to it for interesting information. I don't come to it for those reasons. I want some kind of a reminder that benefits me, that impacts me. That's number two. Then he says, don't rush to the Qur'an. By the way, before that, فَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ الْمَلِكُ الْحَقِّ. Every time I read the Qur'an, I need to be aware of Allah being up here, being the Most High, the Most Supreme, and I'm in no place to challenge what Allah says. I have to approach this book with humility. My attitude towards this book is the Master is speaking and I'm the slave, and I'm hearing the words of my Master. That kind of humility has to be always present when we engage the word of Allah, فَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ الْمَلِكُ الْحَقِّ. Then the next part of it is, never study the Qur'an so you can answer somebody else's questions. Like, you know what? Somebody asked me this question, I'm gonna find an ayah and just slap them with it. Don't rush to find answers from the Qur'an to just throw them to somebody else. The dua at the end of these ayat is, قُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. Not زِدْهُمْ عِلْمًا. Ya Allah, increase them in knowledge, they need more knowledge. No, what do you ask? Even the Messenger of Allah, the teacher of Qur'an, the most knowledgeable of all of Allah's, you know, creation on earth, he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's being told, increase me in knowledge. Enhance me. He's being made humble before the word of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to be humble before the word of Allah and ask Allah to increase us. It also teaches us that no one of us will ever be an expert in the Qur'an. No one will ever be able to say, I have command over the Qur'an, or I have authority over the Qur'an, or I understand what the Qur'an says. Nope, not even the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given that full authority. Even he's supposed to ask, increase me in terms of knowledge. Even he's supposed to approach the word of Allah with humility sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because at the end of the day, like Imam al-Suyuti said, if someone wants to appreciate the gap between Allah and his slaves, how much higher is Allah, how much lower are the slaves? Then they'll appreciate how much higher is the word of Allah and the word of his slaves. Right? So the word of Allah is in the highest of places. وَكَلِمَةُ اللَّهِ هِيَ الْعُلْيَا. Nothing is higher than the word of Allah. And that attitude is being taught to us in رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. Don't turn the knowledge of the Qur'an into something. Let me quote a verse. Let me find an ayah that I can, you know, post on my social media so that these guys that are all following me, they get slapped with it. Like, this is about, I'm not going to say this is about you, but it is. You know? And I make sure I hashtag them. Or I, you know, it's some kind of a dig. Don't use the Qur'an to take digs. Don't use the Qur'an to answer other people's questions or, you know, address their unnecessary curiosities. If somebody genuinely has a question, that's something else. That's something else entirely. But that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about, oh yeah, impress me with your Qur'an. Show me this, show me that. No, Allah's word is not going to come be humbled by your requests. We have to come to Allah's word with humility. And so that attitude is being taught to us. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us sincere, humble students of the Qur'an. My hope, you know, and as we approach the end of this series, one of the most powerful du'as is coming, it's right around the corner, is actually of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam receiving, you know, one piece of Qur'an actually above in the heavens. So most of the Qur'an came down to the Prophet, and one du'a Allah's Messenger went up to receive. Right, so it's in a special place. That's the last of the du'as that I will do. But I hope one thing you get out of this as Ramadan comes to a close is that your relationship with the Qur'an doesn't come to a close. You actually start becoming students of the Qur'an in your personal lives. Pick up a translation, pick up a commentary, start listening to something, taking a little bit of notes, just 10, 15 minutes a day, doesn't matter how much, but رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. And there's no rush. There's never going to be any rush. Oh, I haven't finished the whole Mus'haf yet. Don't do that. Or I haven't read the entire translation. I haven't read the entire tafsir. Don't do that. Don't worry about it. Take your time. Just, you have all the time in the world. And if you die studying the Fatiha, it's cool. Very good. I'm not hoping that you do. I'm just saying that that if we die in this journey, if Allah doesn't give us long enough life to get through the entire word of Allah, that's okay. At least we died swimming in this blessed ocean. That's good enough for us. That's really just good enough for us. You know, before I used to be very agitated that I haven't studied this surah or I haven't gotten this surah in depth and all of that. And I've been trying to study Allah's book for about 20 years now. But I could tell you, I, even to my satisfaction, to go through the entire Qur'an, I at least have a decade left ahead of me. And I'm okay with that. For one round, I don't know, that's certainly not the end of my studies. But for one round, it's okay. I am in no rush. No rush at all. If you're going to study an ayah, take your time with an ayah. If you're going to study a surah, take your time with a surah. Take 6 months, take a year, memorize a surah. Even if it's one page and it takes you a year to memorize one page, no problem. What's your rush? The fact that you spend time with the word of Allah, continuously asking Allah if He enhances you, رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا, good enough. That's actually what's needed. And so this idea of not rushing with the Qur'an is consistently mentioned to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and through him it is mentioned to ourselves. So barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikr al-Hakim. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Aqim as-salat.